going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in one hand and Hebrews chapter 5 in the other. This will simply be a springboard into the message tonight. We've got a lot of ground to cover and a good bit of places to go to tonight. And I believe the subject at hand is one of a highly serious nature. I believe the subject at hand tonight is one that everybody in the building that claims the name of Christ needs. Doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord or how young you may be in the Lord. From the youngest of our young people that are saved to the oldest of our senior saints that are saved, and for all the rest of us that fill up the ranks in between, everybody needs what I'm preaching tonight. I feel like it is a gift of the Spirit that has sorely fell by the wayside. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's just begin reading in verse 7. Read several verses here together. 1 Corinthians 2, 7, if you're with me, say amen. Amen. Paul said, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9, but as it is written, can I say before we read verse 9, this verse has absolutely nothing to do with heaven. As far as we have no idea what's waiting on us. Everybody always quotes this verse saying, well, I don't know what's coming. You know, I have not seen it, have not heard it. It ain't got nothing to do with heaven. Anyways, I have not seen, keep reading, that's written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Watch verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. In other words, the natural man, his eye can't see it. His ear doesn't hear it. His heart doesn't receive it. But those of us that are walking in the Spirit, we are getting these revealed truths that the world doesn't know about. You say, what is those things that God prepares? I don't think it's even talking about heaven. I think it's talking about walking with God, living for God here. God gives and prepares and has things for the child of God. The world and the lost know nothing about tonight. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, scripture with scripture, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually, watch this word, this is our word tonight, discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 5. We read this verse Sunday morning while we were preaching our message on companions of conversion. The word that was mentioned back in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, that word discerned, we're going to pick it up again in Hebrews 5, verse number 14. Let's start reading in verse 13, Hebrews 5, 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to, here's our word tonight, discern both good and evil. So tonight we're going to deal with a spiritual gift that I feel like is sorely needed in the church world today, but has been sadly and severely neglected in these last days. And that is the gift that every child of God should seek after in this building, and it is the gift that God gives called discernment. Tonight we're going to deal with the thought, just that one word, discernment. I feel like we're living in the last days, Brother Travis, where so many of God's people run around like a chicken with their proverbial head cut off, having absolutely no discernment about the day in which they're living, the morality which they should be involved in, the spiritual things of God that they should be involved in, and things that are deception of the day. Discernment. You say, preacher, why is it that it seems like so few of God's people even exercise or have this gift anymore? And I'll tell you why. It's because of the very nature of the word. The very nature of the word discernment has been made out like it's something evil in the church world today. Can I tell you what the word discern means? What it means all through the scripture and what it means in its setting in Hebrews 5 and in 1 Corinthians 2:14 where we were. The word discern literally means this. I looked it up in their settings. This is what it means. Discern means distinguishing, being able to distinguish between right and wrong, good and evil, light and darkness. Distinguishing or, this was another definition for it, judging. You know why we don't discern anymore? Because we don't want to be accused of, you're just being judgmental. Yes, yes I am. Judge not that you be not judged. Don't know where you found it at and don't know what the context is of it, but you pulled that out so that way you could live like hell and nobody would talk to you about it. Discernment. It literally means to be able to distinguish things or to be able to judge things in your Christian walk with God. But we have lived in a day where Satan has suddenly yanked the teeth out of the church. Church ain't got no teeth no more. They can't discern anything. They are accepting of anything and everything today. You can't call out false doctrine. You can't call out immorality. You can't call out the wickedness of the day, because then you are labeled as some hateful, pharisaical, judgmental Christian. But y'all, we are commanded as spiritual people to judge between right and wrong, light and darkness, good and evil. We are called to discern things in our life. We're living in a day where we have no more spiritual discernment. And I feel like in light of the spiritual and moral deception of the day in which we're living, this message is highly, highly needed. Everybody in here, and according to Hebrews 5, did you notice part of the way you get discernment? Now, we're going to go through and show you how I believe the Bible gives us discernment, how we gain discernment from the Lord. But one of the ways is right there in Hebrews 5, you have to exercise it. Did you notice he said they have their senses exercised? You got to start using it, looking, being discerning. Is this right for my family? Will this harm my children? Is this biblical for my marriage? Is this biblical in raising my children? Is that the church I should be involved in? Are these the friends that are helping me live for God? Is this vice in my life damaging and keeping me? There needs to be some discernment from all of us tonight. So I want to show you about three or four things that the Lord gave me on discernment that I believe will be a help and a blessing to us. I believe if you'll stay with me, it'll help you tonight too. What are some of the truths that we see about discernment? Well, number one, we see God's plan or path for discernment. The plan. What's God's plan? How does God help us discern? The plan or the path of discernment tonight. Because the Bible did say over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read it, that the things of God, they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. But how? Brother Steve, how do we spiritually discern this? Well, this is the way most people spiritually discern things today. I felt something. Oh, I felt, I had goosebumps so big a piglet could suck on them. I'm telling you, I felt it. Is this the gauge? Is this the way that we spiritually discern things, based solely off of I felt something? Because if that's the way we do it, y'all, I feel something when I watch movies a lot of times. I feel something when I watch the Bulldogs. I feel stuff when I'm in a carnal sense, and I feel stuff, brother, in listening to a song. Brother, you realize you can be moved to tears listening to AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, Leonard Skinner, or whoever your favorite, lost secular artist is. That moves people to tears all the time. That don't mean it's the Spirit of God. Doesn't mean it's God moving you that way. So what is it? How is it? How do we spiritually discern things? Well, this is just how I feel. Let me tell you how I feel about this is the way we should raise our children. I'll just be honest with you. The longer that I listen to even preachers, spouse, child rearing, I say to myself, my God, that is so foreign to the Bible. Where are we even at? So far in what God's word says that I'm like, my God, man, we are raising a generation that has absolutely no bearing or compass of what Bible Christianity is. So how do we figure this out? Listen to me. Don't miss this. Here's God's plan. This is the plan for discerning. I am to discern, but listen to me. Don't miss this. But I am not the discerner. I am called to discern, Brother John. But do you realize this when you study this word discern in the Bible? There's only one discerner in the Bible. It's only mentioned one time, discerner, only one. Who is the discerner? I am called to discern, but I'm to discern through something. I'm not the discerner, but I'm called to discern. So what is the prism? What do I look through so that I may discern right and wrong? Hebrews chapter 4. This is the only time this word's used in your Bible as far as a something that is the discerner. Hebrews 4:12, watch what it said. Here's God's plan for discernment. For the word of God, there you go. They had no idea what I was preaching on. I had no idea what they were singing. I like how the Lord worked that out, singing about that book. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Don't forget that. We're going to use that later in the message. Don't forget the word of God is like a sword. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And watch what the word of God is. And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How do we spiritually discern? We go to the spiritual discerner. And it ain't your feelings. And it ain't your opinion. And it's not what some religion teaches or some man thinks. To understand and to biblically discern right, wrong, good, and evil in our life, we must go to what God set up as our discerner. What is it, preacher? It's that book you hold in your lap if you got a King James Bible. And I'll be honest with you, I've heard so much of this garbage in just the last week or so on Facebook and social media from different outlets, and they say things like this. They say, Brother Keith, well, you can't put God in a box. True, but you can put God in the Bible. No, you don't put him in your box, but you put him in what he already said he would put himself in. God confines himself to the words of his book. Well, don't put God in a box. You can't put God. I'm not putting God in a box. I'm telling you what God said. And if God's not going to bind himself to his word, then God is a liar. And we have no trust in him. Well, we don't know if he's going to change tomorrow, the next day. God bound himself by his word tonight. How do we discern? We use the book. And if something clearly goes against what Scripture teaches us, I have no problem judging it. Why is it we live in a day, Brother Jimmy, where it seems like so many preachers and so many of God's people, they look at things that are absolutely 100% sure enough contrary to what Scripture teaches, and yet they are scared to death to align with the Scripture? If I hurt your feelings by standing up for Scripture, I'm sorry, but I will not sacrifice the truth for your feelings tonight. I'm not going to sacrifice what God said so that you feel good about whatever it is you're involved in. If it comes to our feelings or the Scripture, feelings should be tossed out the window and we take what God said. It is the magnifying glass. It is the window which we look in to be able to discern. It is the discerner tonight. That's why we preach the Bible. I've been here for 5 years. I don't know how many messages that makes in Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Thursday night, Bible Institute. But I can tell you this much, Brother James, I have never stood up in Bible Institute, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night without my Bible to preach. There's a reason why every time I stand up in front of you, I say, take your Bible and turn here. Take your Bible and turn there. And even if all of a sudden service, you know, gets, you know, way out and God blows in, does something, you know, I'm always quoting a verse of Scripture or bringing you back to the Bible even if I didn't open it. But as far as preaching, teaching, we preach the Bible. We teach the Bible. We believe the Bible. We live the Bible. We learn the Bible. We love the Bible. Because without it, we can't discern anything. Without this, you and I are simply just aimless, floating through life, knowing nothing of what is truth or error. That's why the Bible says this, Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? In other words, how is he supposed to clear the way out so he can clearly see the direction he could go? Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word, Psalm 119, 105, is a lamp to my feet and it is a light to my path. The Bible said the entrance of thy words giveth light and it giveth understanding unto the simple. Say, preacher, I want to have discernment in my life. It will come through a relationship with that book. You want to show me a Christian that has no discernment in their life about the direction they should go and what they should be doing with their life, right, wrong, light, or anything? I'll show you a Christian that has absolutely no relationship with that Bible. Now, it's more than just simply reading and just, you know, assimilating facts. We're going to look at that here in a little bit. There's got to be some spirit and truth with it. But we see, firstly, and I wanted to start you there because I want us to get a real good foundation before we run off to some other passages of Scripture about discernment. The first thing we find is the plan or the path for discernment. Are we all in agreement tonight that the only way any of us are going to be able to discern anything about life is through this book? It's not what you think. It's not. We say this, but I don't think we believe this a lot of times. But this is what we say. This book, Brother Jack, should be the guiding force of our life in all matters of faith and practice. In other words, it doesn't just guide us spiritually. It guides us in every aspect of our life. Where we go, what we do, who we hang around, how we raise our children, how we treat our husband, how we treat our wife, what we wear, what we listen to, what we watch, what we put in our bodies, where we work at, anything and everything, we filter it through what saith the Scriptures. Not what thus saith the preacher. I have tried to instill this in the last 5 years, is that it is not what thus saith the pastor. No, what thus saith the Word of God. I hope you check me out. I do. I sincerely do. I don't want anybody in here to be mindless drones that they just take for granted what the pastor said is the truth. No, bring your Bible. Follow along. Go home and read. Make sure if what I'm telling you is true. Discernment. We see there's a plan and a path for discernment. Let me say, secondly, we find the problem. There's a problem with discernment. Go with me all the way to the book of Genesis. I want to show you the first mention of the word discernment. My goodness, it really goes hand in glove and really has something to do with what we're preaching tonight. Thanks, sir. It really has something to do with what we're saying tonight. Look at Genesis 27. This is the story of Jacob is about to deceive his blind daddy Isaac. Going to deceive him. This is the first time you find this word discern in your Bible. And it's a man who cannot discern. He's a picture of the last days church and the last days Christian. Watch what your Bible said in Genesis 27 and verse number 15. Genesis 27, 15. Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I'm Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Verse 23, and he discerned him not. He had no discernment. Why didn't he have any discernment? I don't want to get ahead of myself. We'll say this in a minute, because he was going totally off what he felt. Because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands, so he blessed him. The first man that Scripture said could not discern had the same problem as the last day's church has. Why does he not have any discernment? Because he's blind. Chapter 27, verse 1. Look at the first verse of chapter 27. It tells you that it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, my son. And he said unto him, behold, here am I. You see the first problem of why this man could not discern? Because he's blind. He just couldn't see. Well, preacher, I just don't see anything wrong with. That's just your problem. You don't see anything. You don't see nothing. We live in a day, Brother David, of willful blindness. It's not that we've not been told. It's not that we don't know the Scripture. It's that we have said, I don't want to see it. It's willful blindness. I just don't want to see. I am amazed today at what Christians don't see. Watch your life. Why can't you see this? To me, it seems like such a black and white issue. How come you can't see this? I mean, I've literally had people down through the years, whether in evangelism or in pastoring, come talk to me about some things, and they're Christians, and I'm like, how do you not see this? Well, preacher, I don't think it's wrong to take a little drink every once in a while. I mean, you know, we can have a little drink, you know, social drink. I'm like, how do you not see this? The Bible's not ambiguous about drinking. I mean, even just recently, it ain't too long ago, I talked to a fella about, I don't think it's wrong, you know, to smoke a joint. I think, you know, it's all right, it's natural, and it's how in the world has nobody ever sat you down and said it ain't all right to take mind-altering drugs? I'm blown away at what God's people don't see. Well, I don't think there's nothing wrong with me and my girlfriend fornicating and shacking up. Yeah, except them verses over there to preach against it. Let's get quiet up in there now. Youngins, let me tell all y'all with boyfriends and girlfriends in here, it's still wrong to touch each other before you get married. No contract, no contact. Amen. That Bible still said it's good for a man not to touch a woman. And can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? It's still good not to be fornicating before you get married. Amen. I'm blown away at this idea. This idea that, and we're seeing it more and more today. This idea where it says, you know, the Bible said over there that in the last day, when we come back with the Lord, He'll write on them the name of our God and the name of the city of New Jerusalem, and even on Jesus. I've literally heard idiots say this. It said over there, Jesus had on his thigh a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. See, even Jesus got a tattoo, so we all should get tattoos. Now look, if you got a tattoo and you're lost or living out in the world, hey, God forgives and forgets. You know, why do I have to make that disclaimer? Some of y'all was drunks. So I didn't have to make a disclaimer about that just then. Some of y'all was fornicators, but you got right. I didn't have to make a disclaimer about that. But some reason about there's certain little hot button subjects that I have to make disclaimers about, because immediately people's going to be like, he's assaulting me. Y'all, we didn't have to teach our children, Brother John, when they was little kids. You know what we had to teach our children? Don't ride on yourself. Don't take a marker and write on yourself. Duh. I'm amazed at what Christians are just like, oh, there's nothing wrong with this. Every time I see Christians with these nose things and popping their nose, first thing I think is, Bible said in Proverbs, has a jewel of gold and a swine snout. So is a fair woman without discretion. I don't get, that's all right. I'm just telling you, this is the problem. We don't see anything wrong with anything. We've turned blind. And that's why we have these Asbury revivals and all of God's people just jumped into them. And all these Bible believers just jumped into Asbury. Oh, look at this wonderful revival sweeping the nation. What you didn't check out, is it's being led by homosexuals on the platform. Amen. Known documented homosexuals leading on the platform. Everybody all right with that? Everybody okay with the homosexuals leading the revival? That the revival you want to be a part of? Everybody all right with the lady slaying somebody in the spirit and casting devils out? Everybody good with that? Because that's going on. Everybody all right with them passing out the Catholic Mass Eucharist at Asbury and putting the little cross on their head with the ashes? Because that's what's going on. Just watched the video the other day, Brother Roger, of this dude standing outside Asbury. And while he's standing outside Asbury, he's saying to all these young people, have you received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire with evidence of speaking in tongues since you believed? And the whole crowd starts getting slain in the spirit and talking in tongues. They got a spirit. They feel something. My problem is it's not Bible. My problem is it's not the scripture. And we're just sucking it all up. And in these last days, we are living in a day where I felt something. They didn't see nothing. Just don't see. Just don't see. Why can we not see this? It just doesn't seem like a hard thing for me. Anyways, what's wrong with him? He's blind. You know the last day's church, it said this about the last day's church, Brother Charlie, this is what it said. Revelation 3:18, I'll not take you there, it's 8 o'clock, I'm trying to hurry here. The last day's church, it said, anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. What's wrong with the Laodicean church, Brother Jack? They can't see. What makes us see as a Christian, Brother Dan Dunphy? The Word of God. I just read to you, it is the illuminator. It's the lamp, it's the light. What does that do? It illuminates. It gives light. He's blind. What's the problem? I got several things to say under this problem, then I got to move to the last point. His problem is he's blind. What's the other problem with Jacob, why he can't discern? He can't discern not just because he's blind, he can't discern because it's his boy. It's hard for him to make a discerning call because it's his boy. Isaac wants to bless, don't miss this, y'all. Isaac wants to bless Esau so bad that he's willing to get deceived to do it. And then I think to myself, Brother Zach, why is he trying to bless Esau so bad? Y'all, have you read what the Bible said about in Hebrews 12 about Esau? He's a profane person and a fornicator. Why is Daddy trying so hard, Brother Garrett, to give this guy a blessing? Because it's my boy. And you know, he really is good at heart. You know, he really does love the Lord. No. He's a fornicator and a profane person. But because it's my son, I'm willing to get duped. Now, I'm going to tell you why a lot of Christians don't have any discernment, because their own children are mixed up in sin, and if they took a stand on what the Bible says, their own children would get mad at them and their family get mad at them. And I can't tell you how many people I have watched take the side of their child or their family over the side of truth. Whether it's your child or mine, my job's not to take the side of my child over the church and over the church, God's people and the Word of God. My job is to take the side of truth over my family. Amen, y'all. I mean, Jacob's going, or Isaac's going full well into this because I got to bless him. I want to bless him. Yeah, I'm going to give a blessing to this guy. Why? He don't deserve no blessing. You know, I heard things like this before. Well, my child just, I heard Brother Farley actually make this statement. This is a great statement I heard him make a long time ago. He said a lot of people come to him and say, well, preacher, my child just got involved with the wrong crowd. He said, you know why your child got involved with the wrong crowd? They are the wrong crowd. Yeah, it ain't never your child that's the wrong crowd. It's just they got involved with the wrong crowd. No, maybe your child was the wrong crowd. That's why they got involved with the wrong crowd. We have no discernment because it's my youngin'. Y'all, I'm telling you, we got to get to the place where we say, what does the book say? Anyways, it's his boy. He's blind. What else is wrong with him? He didn't believe what he heard. Couldn't believe what he heard. Watch what it said in verse 22. Verse 22 of the text. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice. He hears the voice. It is Jacob's voice. But I don't care what I hear. I'm not going to believe what I hear. But the hands are the hands of Esau. Y'all, how does faith come? That's Bible readers in here. I'm glad to be among y'all. Praise God. I didn't even get you started on the verse. Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by, we're back to where we started, the discerner. By the word of God. And instead of listening, he would not listen. You know what Paul said about the last days? This is what Paul said about the last days. They shall, this is 2 Timothy 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Don't want to hear the truth. Why? What's the problem? Same thing that's the problem with Isaac. Isaac goes totally off of what he feels. It's in verse 22, he felt his hands. It's in verse 23, he felt his hands. It's totally, this feels right. This feels good. What does the book say, y'all? Discernment. Discernment. It's not about just how we feel. We're living in a day, and I've said this before, we're living in the day that if we're gonna not turn away our ears and we're gonna listen, it's even gotta be the right tone. We've gotta have it in the right tone. You know the problem with preacher's horn? In a lot of places, and the problem with preachers on it ain't necessarily what I preach; it's how I preach. it's loud, and it's he doesn't smile, and it's I've told you this before. I'll tell you again because it's such a classic illustration on the point that I'm trying to make here. But it's like dealing with my dog or your dog. Brother Eddie, anybody's got dogs has seen this. I can bring Kirby outside and I can look at Kirby and I can pat him on his head and start petting his ears and say, you're the dumbest dog I ever had in my life. You're so stupid. You're an ignorant little dog. I'm going to take you out back and shoot you with my shotgun. I done got the hole dug back there. You know what he'll do? He'll just shake his tail and ha, 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 ha. That's the day we're living in. I listen to some preaching from pulpits and that God's people are soaking up, and I'm saying the hole's getting dug for you. It's going to kill you spiritually. But it sounded good. I felt good. Conversely, if I brought my dog out, Brother Tyler, and I look at Kirby and I say, Kirby, you are a good dog. You are the best dog I've ever had in my life. You know what he'll do? He'll run to the other side of the house, tuck his tail in. He ain't listening to what I say, Brother Cliff. He's listening to the tone of the voice. And I fear we're living in a day where we don't even discern what's being said anymore. We're not believing what we hear. We're going totally off what we feel. So I want to get to this last point because I believe this is advantageous to all of us. We not only see the problem of discernment and we see the plan for discernment, but lastly, I see there's a prayer for discernment. I believe everybody in here should have this tonight. Go with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Watch the prayer. There's a prayer for discernment. There's a man that prays and asks for what I'm preaching on tonight. He turns into being what we term, Brother Paul, to be the wisest man that ever lived. Now, I know he doesn't end up that way, but he started that way. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord. That's wonderful. Walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. Come down to verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, this has got to be the most loaded question that God ever asked a man in the whole of Scripture. No stipulations, no prerequisites. Just ask whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. Ask what I shall give thee. What would you have asked for? I mean, there's no, Brother Michael, there's no strings attached to this thing. He just says, ask. As far as I can tell, God would have given him whatever he'd wanted. Just blank check. Here, tell me what you want. And he starts talking to the Lord here and thanking God for letting him sit on the throne and this and that. And he finally asks. He finally gets around to asking. Verse 9, this is what he asks for. Watch what he asks for. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who's able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. It pleased God that somebody would ask for discernment. Please the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. I've done according to thy words. Lord, I've given thee a wise understanding heart, and I mean none after thee, so on and so forth. One of the things that I pray for all the time, I pray for it all the time, God, give me wisdom and give me discernment. I have prayed for that for years and years and years. God, I want understanding and I want discernment. I want understanding and I want discernment. I want wisdom and I want discernment. You say, is that a good prayer? I guess Solomon prayed it and God was happy to give it to him. How do I get discernment, preacher? Ask. Ask. I'm just curious. Have you ever been honest enough with God to get in a place where you say, Lord, give me discernment? This ain't the only place it's mentioned. Hold your place here because we're coming back. We're going to come back. Go with me to James. Go to James with me. And look at James in chapter number 2. Don't leave 1 Kings. We're going to come right back. I want to show you something there and we're going to close. But look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I'm talking about the prayer for discernment. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you, James 1, 5, lack wisdom, this is discernment, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You say, preacher, how do I get discernment? Ask. God, I don't know how to lead my family. God, I don't know how to even walk acceptably before you. I don't know how to judge between right and wrong. Lord, So what does God do? God takes his plan and he takes prayer and he puts them together and he begins to illuminate your way and illuminate your life so that you might do what God has asked you to do. Discernment. Go back with me to 1 Kings. I want you to notice something. We're going to be done. Notice right after Solomon asks for discernment and wisdom, watch the first thing that Solomon has to judge in his life and watch how he judges it. Don't miss this. 1 Kings 3, verse 16. This is the first thing that Solomon will be able to put his discernment into action with. 3:16. Then came there two women that were harlots under the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after that I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thine handmaid slept and laid it in her bosom and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. Get the picture here. Here they come, and they're standing before the king, and the woman says, Hey, king, I laid down at night and had my son beside me, and she laid on her son and killed him. And in the night she took her dead son and put it over here with me and got my living son and put it with her. That's my boy that she's got. Her son's the dead one. And she said, No, that ain't true. Her son's a dead one. I got the living one. No, that ain't true. And they just back and forth. How are we going to figure this out? How are we going to figure out what's right and what's wrong? Y'all, listen to me. This is what it's going to take to figure out and discern what's right and wrong. A sword. Amen. The sword is going to tell us what's right and what's wrong. Watch it. I ain't just preaching. I'm telling you the Bible. Verse number 24. And the king said, here's how we're going to figure this thing out, Brother Zeke. Bring me a sword. Yep. Yeah. And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, you know what a sword does? Divide, it says. You know why some people don't want any discernment? It comes through prayer and through the plan, through the word of God. I tell you why people don't want discernment. It may divide you. It may have to cut you loose from some things or from some people or from some stuff. That's what they're fixing to do to figure out the truth. Watch it. It said, the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other. This is brilliant. This is absolutely brilliant. This is one of those brilliant things you ever read in scripture, because he knows what's going to happen. A real mama would never let that happen to her child. It's brilliant. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. A real mama wouldn't have said that. A real mama would have said, I don't care if he lives with her. Just keep my boy alive. Verse 27, then the king answered and said, give her the living child and in no wise slay it. She's the mother thereof, so on and so forth. What in the world was the deciding factor on this division and discord we had? The sword. It highlighted who was in the right, who was in the wrong, what was truth, and what was error. You say, preacher, how am I supposed to discern in my life between right and wrong, good and evil? You pray and ask God, and then you let God use his sword to show you. And without that, you have no idea what's up or what's down or what's left or what's right. As a church, we should all ask God, God, give us wisdom and discernment. Can I quote a verse of scripture to you that we all need? Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits to see whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world, wherein we know it's the last time and it's the spirit of Antichrist. Brother, you can't. I told you this in Sunday school, or maybe it was in 11 o'clock last Sunday. The devil will slap anything, a Christian label on anything, to suck you in. The devil will slap a feeling on anything to suck you in. How do we discern? We pray and we have God show us the truth from his word. As a daddy, I need wisdom and discernment. As mamas, you need discernment to know how to lead your family. As Christians, we need discernment to know how to walk and live acceptably before God in this world. There are so many different choices that we must make on a regular basis. Is this right? Is this wrong? Is this the way I should go? God, I want to see. I don't want to just be willfully blind. I don't want to be sticking my fingers in my ears. God, anoint mine eyes with eye salve. I want to be able to discern between right and wrong. We are called to, y'all. We're called to this evening. And if we're not careful, we'll live in a day to where we'll go totally off our feelings, and people that preach like I've preached tonight, this is what you'll start doing. You'll get in your feels. Instead of staying in the Bible, you'll get in your feels, and the first thing you'll start saying is, well, that hurt my feelings. I tell you what, what y'all think about that? That bothered me. Brother, I'm not talking about your feelings or my feelings. I'm talking about what does the Bible say? Can I give you this last tidbit and we're done? It's 8:17. I'll give you this last tidbit and I'm done. Along with your discernment, let me throw this out to you. This is what Jesus chastised the Pharisees for. Unless anybody turns into what the Pharisees are, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said you need judgment, discernment. Told you, but this is what he said in Matthew 23. He said, you tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. This is what he said the weightier matters of the law was that they needed. Judgment, which is discernment. Listen to me. Judgment, mercy, and faith. If all you've got is all discernment, all sword, and you're just cutting people up left and right and hacking them up, and I'm right and they're wrong and I'm hacking them up, you're not doing any good. There must be discernment. Jesus said that's a weighty matter of the law. You've got to be able to discern right and wrong. But along with your discernment, make sure you have some mercy for people. Make sure you have some mercy to say, hey, they might be in the wrong, but I'm going to pray for them and I love them. And I'm going to care about them. I'm going to be rude and ugly and hateful. I don't have to be. I'm going to make sure I have a balance of judgment, discernment, mercy, and faith, and put them all together and watch God keep the way clear in my life. Do you need discernment as a young person, as a daddy, mama, Christian, church member? Yeah, we all do. I want discernment in my life. Let's all stand tonight. Father, I pray that you would make the message real to us. Give us discernment. Help us to see. Help us to not be like Isaac, blind. Help us to not be like Isaac, where we're just going totally off of how we feel all the time. But help us to get to where, by faith, we take what you say, we believe it, we put it into practice, and we use it. Help us, God. Lord, once again, I pray even now for wisdom and discernment. I cannot lead this church. I cannot pastor this church. I cannot love these people without it. Give me what it is they stand in need of on a regular basis. Help us, God. And we'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to come tonight, you come.